Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the crucified and risen Jesus,
Amen.
We find ourselves as Christians in the waiting time. We are waiting for the consummation of our salvation. We are waiting in this time between Christ's resurrection and ascension and the end of the age for our Lord to appear to make everything new. And sometimes the waiting grows wearisome. Sometimes we wonder if we are waiting for nothing. After all, did not the Lord promise to come back quickly? And where is He? Yet this is the way that God works. After Adam and Eve fell into sin, and God pronounced His judgment upon the serpent, upon Eve, and especially upon Adam, God promised that Savior would come, the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head and who would win final victory over the serpent. Luther says Eve apparently thought that the next son to be born by her would be the one, but she was mistaken. It would be several thousand years before Christ, the promised one, was born. And in that time, the people God had chosen, the descendants of Abraham, the Hebrews, the Jews, had to wait. They experienced many hardships, much suffering, having to do none the least with their unfaithfulness to God and His promise. They went into exile. They were conquered by pagan nations. Where is this promise of the coming one? Where is the promise of this one who is going to crush the seed of the serpent? But He came. He came at last. And yet He came in a way that confounded many of those who were waiting for Him to appear. He came in the guise of a Jewish peasant, a worker with his own hands. He did not come arrayed in royal robes of honor. He did not come born in a king's mansion. He came as a lowly peasant, and yet this lowly peasant was heir, eternal heir to the title King of the Jews. And when He came, when He was declared the King of the Jews, it was immediately before He was crucified. When Pontius Pilate had the wooden placard nailed to the head of his cross, "This man is the King of the Jews," in three languages, it was as a mockery. The disciples, those who followed Jesus, those who believed in Him, had hoped that He was the Messiah. He was the one who would deliver Israel. And now their hopes seemed to be petering out with every drop of blood that spilled from Jesus' veins. And so He died, and so seemingly ended all the hopes of those who had trusted in Him, of those who had believed in Him, of those who had been healed by Him, those who had miraculously been made whole by Him, those who had heard His wonderful words. It all came to nothing on a Roman cross and in a borrowed tomb. Jesus is speaking in today's gospel reading of His death and resurrection. He says, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me." And this was too much for the disciples. What is it He says to us? "A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." Jesus knew they wanted to ask Him, so He said to them, Is this what you were asking yourselves? What I mean by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? This must be important. It's repeated 3 times in the space of just 4 verses or so in John's gospel. John is recording not merely how Jesus was teaching his disciples, but by the repetition here, John is teaching us what this a little while means. Jesus goes on to explain, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will, when I am arrested and taken from you, and you betray me, you deny me, you will weep and lament, especially when I am put to death. But the unbelieving world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." Then going back to the image of a woman giving birth that we find in the very first chapters of the Bible. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament prophets, but not exclusively there, the image of childbirth is an image of a fallen creation looking forward to the consummation of the age, to the return of the Lord, when God eradicates evil and suffering and sorrow and sin forever and makes all things new. And that can also be used in the New Testament. In Romans, we read that all creation is groaning as in the pangs of childbirth, looking forward to the revealing of the sons of God. Creation now experiences the contractions. Creation now experiences the pains. Creation now wonders how long till this is over, and indeed that is a question found in the Psalms and elsewhere in Scripture. How long, O Lord? As I said, you and I are in the in-between time. Christ has died. The Scriptures teach this. We confess it in the creeds. Christ has been raised again. The Scriptures teach this. We confess it in the creeds. Christ has ascended to the right hand of the Father. The Scriptures teach this. We confess it in the creeds. All these things are done and over, and yet there is something yet to be fulfilled. Christ return in glory. We are in the in-between time. We wait. We question. We ask, how long, O Lord? How long can this world go on? How long must we endure? How long until you come and take us to yourself? How long until all things are made new? Excuse me. How long until things are made new? Well, we don't know. We walk by faith and not by sight. And yet we have this promise of God as recorded in the book of Hebrews. For you have need of endurance now, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. Let's think about that phrase, a little while. A little while, and you will be receiving Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Who knows when you will receive this again in your earthly life? It may be that the Lord fulfills his a little while and calls you to himself before the next time we celebrate the sacrament of the altar. Or it could be that the Lord returns before the next time we celebrate the sacrament of the altar. We live from one a little while to the next. A little while and you will receive the sacrament. A little while and you will hear the benediction. A little while and you will sing the hymn to depart. A little while, and some of you will be here Wednesday to repeat the same thing over and over again. So, time in this sense is relative because it is the Lord's time. He works all things according to our good and according to his purposes. Even time, what he does for us during that time, what he does with that time. And our call as Christians who have seen how God has fulfilled his word in the past are to trust that he will fulfill his gracious words and promises for us yet in the future. A little while and he shall return. A little while and you shall be made new. A little while and you shall be forever victorious over sin and death and the devil. And as we inhabit these a little whiles, we are strengthened by God's word to wait. We are strengthened by the promises of the gospel to wait. We reside in the grace of our baptism, which never fails us, so we can wait. And as a refreshment from week to week, as though we were runners in a marathon, from this table we receive Christ's body and blood to forgive our sins and to renew us and to strengthen us as we continue on in our a little whiles. But the a little whiles shall one day be over and done with. No more a little while than present reality, then with the Lord, then eternal joy that none can take away from us. Again, this is a promise. This is why we are here. This is what makes us content to inhabit these a little whiles, as long as it takes until the Lord graciously comes again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.